Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 3 weeks ago, I think it was 3 weeks ago, we started because the Lord began dealing with me about this, about teaching on the subject of the ministry of helps. And I haven't preached for the last couple Sundays, but I'm back this morning, and we're going to talk about that. It's a little bit jumbled up, but, you know, we're hitting each one of these or individual messages. Last time we talked about how every member is valuable. Today I'm going to answer this question, what is the ministry of helps? What is it? Because you may hear that term, and there would be a lot of people in the church, probably not in this church, but you never know, but there would be a lot of people in the church would be unfamiliar with the term ministry of helps. A lot of maybe even denominational churches might not know what you're talking about when you talk about the ministry of helps, but it is a Bible term. It is a Bible term, and if I should know something about the ministry of helps. My pastor, spiritual father, has America's number one school, helps ministry school. So if I don't know something, I'll be in trouble with him. So, but I do know some things about the ministry of helps, and you know, I'm just going to kind of talk to you about that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, if you haven't found it already. Go ahead and find it, 1 Corinthians 1:28, and follow along in your Bible, and let the Scriptures talk to you, and receive what the Lord has for us today through the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're ready for the Word. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm just going to read one verse, verse 28. It says, and God has set some in the church. I mean, if God set things in the church, they must be important. I mean, God just doesn't just do things just because. There's a reason. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. There's the word helps. Everybody say helps. Governments. Diversities of tongues. Now, he's talking about diversity of tongues, ministering in tongues in a public setting, like giving a message in tongues. So we're not going to talk about all these this morning. We could spend some time talking about the different ones, but none of them have passed away. God set them in, and there's no place that says that God removed them. Man says that God removed them, but, you know, I'm going to wait for God to say he removed them before I remove them. Will that be all right? I'm not going to remove them. They're still there. We still have apostles today, and prophets and teachers and miracles. Amen. And so forth. But I want to talk about the word helps. Everybody say helps again. Helps. Now, I'm going to give you some definition of helps. It's not real deep. It's pretty basic, but I think that, you know, it'll help clear some things up. The word help means help. Isn't that deep? Now, if you were to look this word up, and you were to want to, if you said, well, could you expand on a little bit, Pastor? Well, a little, but not a whole lot, because that's basically what it means. The word helps means relief. It means aid. It means support. It means to participate. I thought this was interesting. It means to take hold of in turn. How many nursery workers know what that means? It's my turn. Well, you're helping. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this. See, what would be the ministry of helps? Well, it's wide. It's varied. It's multifaceted. You know, I remember years ago we used to try to teach people, and I grew out of this. I learned this is not working. You know, God's gifted you with a specific gift, and you need to find that specific gift. And here we are 38 years later, and some are still looking, can't find my gift. Well, I learned that, you know, yeah, God does gift people with certain things. You know, certain people have different giftings that maybe God put in. But then there's people that God just called to help. What does that mean? If we need something lifted, lift it. You know what I mean? See, instead of trying to find something specific, where's my specific? Am I gifted here? You know, am I gifted there? Well, you could be gifted in a variety of areas. You know what I'm saying? I think we get too technical with that, and it confuses people, and they think, well, you know, I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, listen, if just think about this. What would happen to our church today if you came? Because all these areas that are helping pull off, worshiping God, and pull off is probably, that's probably a loose word to use, but putting together something for God, an aroma to God, of something where we bless Him when we come together and worship His name. Where would we be if we didn't have any sound people? We wouldn't have any sound. Well, not loud sound. I probably, my mic would go dead in the middle of the preaching because I don't know when the battery's up on it. I just put it on. Thank God somebody's paying attention. You know, what if we didn't have any praise and worship? What if we didn't have any children's workers, nursery workers, youth workers, people that clean the building? What about people that do maintenance? You know, like 40 lights out in the sanctuary. It's like kind of dark in here today, Pastor. Yeah, I know, but we don't have helps ministry around here. We don't believe in it. You know, and I've seen that where pastors, they do about everything. Thank God I don't have to do that. Thank God we got good helps people here. Hallelujah. So, I'm not up here trying to recruit. I'm just I really, and I am going to at some point give you a list of some spots that are open. You want to? Some of you already got. You know, I got 5 spots now. I know that. Could you just do one more? But you understand that we want to make it available. You know, I mean, and so forth. That you can help if you want to help. You know, I mean, hey, some people are just waiting. You know, till my ministry opens up. But here's what I found about God: He's looking for people that are already busy. I mean, when that anointing came on, Elisha to follow Elijah, he was out working. Gideon was threshing wheat. I mean, you look at the people God used. Moses was keeping sheep on the backside of the desert. You look at the people God used. He never did find. Now, Alfredo over here, he's sitting and he's lazy boy. Call him. Now, I'll be doing that this afternoon, but I don't do it all the time, all right? Now, actually, I'll be sleeping in my lazy boy this afternoon. I'm not going anywhere after service except get something to eat and go sleep, all right? I don't know something about Sunday, just like my body says, sleep, fool, you know. But help me understand that it takes everybody. Sometimes people think, well, you know, it's the pastor. Well, listen, the pastor's got his part, of course. But think about all the other things that are going on to pull off this service. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't even, listen, I have to ask people sometimes about where things are at. I don't know. That's really a good sign. And I'm not having to stay on top of everything and micromanage it. I've had to ask people, do you got a key to the church so I can get in? I'm the pastor. I have a key, but it's not always readily available, you know. And so, listen, you got to understand, see, that's the way it should be. Not that the pastor shouldn't have a key to the church. The way it should be is the pastor shouldn't have to be micromanaging and doing everything. He should be doing his job. You read the book of Acts, you know, the Bible says that when the church grew, that there became a complaint because they were taking care of the widows daily, and there became a complaint that not all the widows were being served, and they brought it to the apostles, and the apostles said, listen, man, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. It's not, the King James says, it's not reason, or it doesn't make sense. It's not right for us to leave the Word of God and go serve tables. Now, I want you to notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, we're too big to do it. He didn't say that. He said, it's not the right thing for us to leave our job to do some other job. See, I still consider myself, even though I'm the pastor, I still consider myself available for the ministry of helps. Absolutely. I've never outgrown that. I never will. Matter of fact, there's times when I go to my own pastor's meetings, I'll call him and say, is there anything you need me to do? And I'm not asking to preach. That's not what I'm talking about. Is there anything you need me to take care of? Anything you need me to do? Anything? I just want to be helped. And there's been times he said, yeah, I need you to bring so-and-so from the hotel to the meeting, one of the speakers. I need you. Can they ride with you? Can they come with you? Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm still available. Amen. And see, we have to understand that God's the one that set this up, not us. I think sometimes people think, well, some preacher thought of this in a back room. You know, I'll show you how we'll get people to take the load off. We'll come up with the ministry helps. No, it's right there in the Bible. Amen. Matter of fact, even though that's the only time that I know of in the Bible you'll find the word helps, you will find the principle of it in a lot of places. A lot of places. Some of them we may talk about this morning if we have time. I'm not sure that we will, but there's a lot of places where you'll find that principle of helps, where people were helping. Paul talked about his helpers. I mean, think about Jesus' disciples, you know. I mean, they were on the boat while he's sleeping. They're feeding the 5,000. They're preparing for the Passover. They're doing things so he doesn't have to do it. Amen. Think about, you know, and I've said this, I've done probably every job there is in church. I've been the pastor, I've been the preacher, I've been the sound guy, I've been the praise and worship, I've taught the youth, I've taught children's church, I've been the maintenance guy. I'm not talking about this church alone, I'm just talking about overall. I think the only thing I haven't done is the nursery, and Jackie said that could be fixed. You remember that? She told me when I had that, we can fix that. Well, there's some things I don't want fixed. All right. But, you know, they've done it all because that's what God wants out of his people. You know, like, you ever heard people say, I don't feel led to do that? There's been pastors who had a piece of lead and give it to them. Well, here's your lead, fill it. You know, I don't feel led. Well, is it when you're in the helps ministry, it isn't about feeling led. It's about seeing a need. It's about fulfilling a need in the house of God. Now, you have to get out of your mind that this is Mark and Phyllis's church. This is God's house. And we've never treated it as ours. We started it, yes, but we've never taken ownership over it. Most of you know that. I mean, you have authority in things that we've given you and your responsibility and everything. We never take an ownership of it. Yes, yes, we do oversee it. Yes, we do make sure it's going the right direction. Yes, we don't want somebody in the back room teaching our kids tongues passed away. We are going to inspect, right? But that's just good common sense to make sure that the thing's staying on the straight and narrow that God put it on, the vision that he gave for it. It's not overlording over people. But you have to have some responsibility, amen. And so, you know, it isn't about us. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about God's house. See, I'm going to talk some more about this as we go along, but God said in Haggai, he talked about to Israel, he said, you've sown much, but you've brought in little. And he said, the reason is because you're building your house while my house lies desolate. And he said, you're not going to prosper unless you take care of my house. He said, you're living in your paneled nice houses. My house is lying in ruins. And you wonder why you're not reaping off your seed. That's Haggai chapter 1. And I just know, if you take care of God's house, man, he will take care of your house. Amen. So we have to have the mentality. We're not serving people. Yeah, we are serving people, but ultimately we're serving God. See, Paul said this. He said, any good thing that a man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Ephesians 6:8. That's a powerful statement when you think about that. Anything you do good, God said, I'll pay you back. He's watching, isn't he? And that doesn't just apply in church. I mean, that applies out in everyday life. Any good thing you do out there, don't think God doesn't notice it. See, Hebrews, he said this, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you've shown toward his name. Everybody say his name. How did they do it? In that you've ministered to the saints. You've been involved in helps. Amen. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17. Let's go there. Come on, you with me this morning? Exodus 17. So what is the ministry helps? Well, it just basically means help. 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 Come on. You know, I've been there. I've been in churches where, you know, they don't have much going on and helps. And it's just like, all right, I have to, you know. Because, you know, sometimes the power of God will come on people and they'll get what we call, used to call slain in the spirit. You know. So basically, I'm having to say, in Jesus' name. Okay. Come on, we've been there. Which is, well, you almost have to do your own catching, you know. It's like, be healed. I mean, something's wrong with that picture. Right? Yeah. I mean, even here, if we got a long prayer line and you see the guys are overwhelmed and you're a guy out there and you're just sitting there, well, I hope they don't hit the floor. What's wrong with you? Get your lazy self up here. Well, I wasn't invited. You just were. It's called help. Help. See, you get this thing in you. It when you get this where I'm helping the kingdom of God, it doesn't just work at church. It works everywhere. You know one thing, one of my pet peeves is when I go to, which I don't like to go to Walmart all that much. I like to go to the grocery store. I don't like Walmart. But I will go because there's groceries at Walmart. So sometimes I have to go there to get what I want. But then I see people have gotten a package of buns and it's over in the toilet paper. I'm thinking, you lazy outfit. There's times I'll take it back. I'm just helping. I'm helping Walmart. I'm not getting paid to put the toilet. But, you know, I was in one of the sports stores, you know, the other day where they sell shoes, you know, running shoes. And that's not all they sell, but they got all kinds of sports equipment. Academy, that's what it's called. Academy. And I'm straightening up the shoe boxes. They're not paying me. But I'm thinking, what fool left them like this? That's the ministry of help, see? Amen. Come on. Are you with me now? But if it's in you, it's just in you. You know, and all. Now, Exodus chapter 17, go there. I want to read this story. It's a real powerful story. Exodus 17, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now the rod of God represents the word of God. Moses, the man of God. Now, we're going to read some more verses here, but I want you to alert about some things we're going to read. I want you to notice how many people are involved in this story here. That it's just not Moses, but there's a lot of people. The first thing, they're at war with their enemy, Amalek. How many know we got an enemy? And it's not flesh and blood, but it's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. All the realm of the demonic kingdom is our enemy. A lot of ugly people in America, but there's spirits behind them making them that ugly. You can't get that stupid and ugly by yourself. You got to have help. Is that all right to say it that way? Oh, I guess I did, didn't I? But anyway, there's demonic forces behind this. There's no way somebody with an intelligent mind can think that borrowing money will get you out of debt. They have to be demonically influenced. Because only a demon could make you that dumb. Is that the truth? But yet, we got leaders in our country who want to borrow money to get out of debt. They can't be thinking rational. They can't be. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Now, I want you to notice this. Then, verse 9, some of y'all got mad at me over that debt thing, didn't you? Just think about it. It doesn't work that way. You don't borrow money, you get out of debt. Now, verse 8, how do you get out of debt? Anybody know how you get out of debt? Somebody said it. What'd you say, Mark? Quit spending money. I've heard a lot of good answers here. You don't spend more than you make. give. That's good. That's a good answer. Teach, did you say something? You're a math teacher. You should know this. There you go. That's right. See, I told you this before. I have a friend. He's an older gentleman now. I don't know how much he's traveled now, but he used to travel. Matter of fact, some of you remember him. He used to come here and preach. Jerry Manning, Pastor Brother Jerry Manning. I remember Brother Jerry would come here and preach, do financial seminars for us. And he told me, one day, I'm teaching this seminar. And he said, I already announced it after I got done teaching. People could ask questions. And he said, boy, I was wishing I hadn't done that, because he said, I saw this one guy out there. He said, he's not receiving anything I'm saying. He's got his hands folded and got a sour look on his face. And he said, I thought to myself, that's going to be the first guy that asked the first question. He said, I wish I hadn't told the people they could ask questions when I got done. So he said, I got done, and said, anybody got any questions? He said, sure enough, first guy to get up was that guy. He said, preacher, he said, I've heard all you said. He said, but can you tell me in one sentence how to get out of debt and prosper? Brother Jerry told me, he said, this came from the Holy Ghost. He said, I didn't think it up. He said, it just came out of me. Yes, spend less than you make and keep doing it for a long time. He said, that guy looked at him and said, that'll work. So we see, in our country, there's a lot of demonic forces that are at work to try to destroy it. Amen. And Israel's facing an enemy here. And it says, verse 9, Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men. See, he's getting Joshua involved, and there's men involved in this. And go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Notice Joshua didn't say, well, aren't you coming? He knew Moses had his spot, right? And so Moses' spot's not down there in the fight. His is with the rod of God, the word of God. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him. He fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. What's that saying? Well, it's just a type. When the word was held up, right? See, let's just bring it down to today. When the pastor was given time to preach the word, what do I mean by that? When he was given, instead of all his week was taken up with doing natural things, he was in there with God, hearing from God, getting ready for the word, like the apostles said, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They're not just talking about we're getting behind the pulpit and preaching. You got to prepare yourself to have something to preach. You understand? See, the minister not only has to feed himself, but he has to prepare to feed the people. If all he does is prepare to feed the people, he doesn't have any time to feed himself. His own life is going to, that's why ministers get in trouble. His own life is going to degenerate, spiritual life. So he has to do both. So naturally, it's going to take a little more time, you know, right? You know, I notice people, they don't want just old hay all the time. They don't just want Reader's Digest. They just don't want politics all the time. They just don't want current events all the time. How many know if we're going to grow, we got to have the word? And that's going to take some time for the man of God like Moses to get the rod of God in his hand. So when he stands behind the pulpit, he doesn't just have a bunch of fluff. He's got the rod of God. And you can certainly tell the difference. Amen. Now, you know, today, I say you can certainly tell the difference. I think you can, but there's a lot of people today can't tell the difference at all now. They don't realize their pastor's just turned into a motivational speaker. When they hear the word, you know, and their spirits are not being fed. They don't even know it, see. But they're scrawny spirits. That's why there's no victory in their life. Amen. You know, you could have a big old head, you know, full intellectual head, but a little tiny, scrawny spirit. And you're not going to live in much victory or peace or joy, you know, the things that come with your victory. Amen. But you got to feed your spirit, man, the word. Amen. Now, so, verse 12, Moses' hands were heavy. They took up a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited, that's the King James, Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I read this because I wanted you to see it wasn't just Moses that got the victory here. It wasn't just Aaron that got the victory here. It wasn't just Moses, Aaron, and Ur that got the victory here. It was all of them, right? See, Moses' hands had to be held up. He had to have the word of God up. That was a key, a big key. But there still had to be people down there fighting. If he's got his hands up and there's nobody down there, there's still no victory. If you don't have Joshua choosing out the right men, there's still no victory. It took everybody to help to effect the victory. Amen? See, we have to, listen, we talked about this during offering. You have to retrain your mind, you know. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice it says let. That means it won't automatically be there. You have to let it be there. What was Jesus' mind? He took on the form of a servant. Even though he was God in the flesh, he took up on the form of a servant and became obedient unto death. It says, let that mind, that servanthood mind, be in you. See, we got to learn, you know, instead of coming and thinking, how am I going to be served? We have to have a mind of being a servant. Who can, remember, we talked about in offering time, who can I bless? Amen? What can I do? So you could see somebody in the church that looks discouraged. I mean, you know, you don't get nosy. You might lose your nose. But you could give an encouraging word. Right? I mean, if you want to know about them, just ask Brother Kenny. He knows about them. Praise God. Amen. I love Brother Kenny. And I'll tell you why. Because he loves people. I told Phyllis, I said, he can find out more about somebody in 5 minutes in the entryway than I knew about him for 5 years. And that's because he really cares and he loves. So I'm complimenting. Kenny, I'm complimenting you today. That may be the last one you get today, so take it, brother. Hallelujah. I know Shelby's not going to give you one. But anyway, see, I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years that have mentioned Brother Kenny. He left a mark on him. You remember a gentleman we used to have? He's in heaven now. Many of you remember him. He used to come here. He was a very precious man named Don Grimwood. I always said about Don, when Don shows up, one of two things is going to happen, a revival or a riot. But it's not going to stay the same. I told him, I said, Don, I want to tell you something, because he was getting a lot of flack, you know, over some of the things he did. I said to him one day, I said, Don, I want to tell you something. If I'm ever in the hospital, I hope I hear the pitter-patter of your little feet coming down that hall to pray for me. So don't let people discourage you. Amen. I mean, did Don do everything perfect? Well, does any of us do everything perfect? Yeah, there were times I had to tell him a little bit, maybe you need to cool it a little bit there in that area, you know. But he wasn't going to leave things that they weren't going to stay the same. And when I preached his funeral, I there was no doubt what scripture I was going to use. I preached, was any of you there at his funeral? I preached his funeral. I knew the scripture I was going to use was the one in Acts where it called Paul a pestilent fellow. A godly pest. That was Brother Don. Amen. But you know what? You have to care about people to make the effort to go do anything. I mean, you have to get out of your house. You know what I'm saying? You have to go make the effort to go pray for people, to check on people and things like that. Well, that means you've lost this selfish heart. You got a heart of a servant. Can I help you? Can I serve you? See, that's what Jesus' heart was. Maybe one of the things that was so mind-boggling about him, that he's the Lord of heaven. He made everything that we see, but yet he was here to help and be a servant. And if anybody deserved to be waited on, it was him. Are you with me now? So you have to understand that this has to be a mindset. There's a scripture. Matter of fact, let's just go there. Since we're in the Old Testament, let's go to 2 Kings. You got a little bit more time? Let's go to 2 Kings. Let me show you something here. 2 Kings chapter 3. And it's about Elisha, who was Elijah's servant. You remember the story probably where Elijah was going to heaven and going to be caught up by a whirlwind, and Elisha was his servant, and he said to Elijah, he said, "Tarry here, I'm going to this city." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, I'm not going to tarry, I'm going with you." And three times he did. I think he's just checking him out. And he said, "No, no matter where you go, I'm going." And finally, Elijah says to Elisha, he says, "What can I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" He said, "That I may have a double portion of your spirit." Isn't that something? What was he after, man? He was after the anointing. He was after something from God, see? And Elijah said something. He said, "You've asked a hard thing. So you can't give what you don't got." He doesn't have a double portion of it. He's only got a single portion. So this is going to have to come from God. So he said, "I'm going to tell you what. If you see me when I'm taken away, you'll get it." In other words, if you are a faithful man, you're going to get it. Well, man, he was right there, wasn't he? Hallelujah. And you know what? He got that double portion. Don't quote me on this, but I think this is accurate. In Dake's Bible, Dake counted up the miracles of Elijah. Elijah had 16 major miracles in his ministry. Elisha had 31. That's not double. Close. But then there was a day when Israel was fighting, and they threw a dead man on Elisha's bones. Remember that? And the man revived and came alive. And God said, "There's number 32. I shorted you one." 32. Associated with him. See? But I think what we need to see about this man was this was not... See, Elisha himself. Now don't get confused. Elijah, Elisha. Everybody say Elijah. Elisha. Elijah single portion. Elisha double portion. Elisha had his own servant named Gehazi, an unfaithful, untrustworthy, lack of integrity man. You know what he got instead of the double anointing? See, he could have had double. See, Elisha had double what Elijah had. Gehazi could have had double what Elisha had. But you know what he got? He got leprosy. Because he wasn't faithful. I want you to read those here with me. Israel, Judah, and I think it's Edom are going to war against Moab. Okay? And so they're looking for a prophet to tell them what's going to happen. And 2 Kings 3:11, it says, "But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?'" See, Jehoshaphat was a godly man. The king of Israel was not. And the king of Edom was not, but Jehoshaphat, godly man. And one of the kings of Israel's servants said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. But I want you to notice the way he was described. He wasn't described as the guy with the double anointing. Could have been. He had it. But what stood out to them, this is the man that poured water on the hands of Elijah. What's being said? This is the man that served in the ministry of helps in Elijah's ministry. See, that's what they noticed about the man. That's why he had that double portion. Go to 1 Corinthians. Come on, are you with me now? Come on, let's move on. 1 Corinthians, let me show you something here. See, what are we saying? Well, here's what we're saying. Well, I tell you what, before you go to 1 Corinthians, bypass that. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read this before we read. Find Ephesians 1, then you can find 1 Corinthians 16. So if you'll find both of those, that'll be good for today. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 16. Ephesians 4. Do you have it? All right. Listen to this out of the King James Bible. Listen to this. I therefore, this is Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, most translations, when there's nothing wrong with this, say the word the calling, right? This word, this Greek word here for vocation, it can mean calling, but it also means vocation. Now, I like the word vocation because, you know, that really speaks to me that we have a vocation. Not a vacation, a vocation. Now, how many know what a vocation is? Three of you. Great. It's a job. It's a career. What's your vocation? Paul said, walk worthy of the vocation you have in the body of Christ. Now, what does walk worthy mean? Walk worthy means give it sufficient weight. Treat it as important. Well, it won't matter if I don't show up today. See, that's not walking worthy of your vocation. Right? Well, it doesn't matter. You know, they'll make it. Well, we will make it, but will you? See, you're not walking worthy of your vocation. See, my wife can tell you, I don't mean to brag on myself, but I treat what I do with weight. I treat it with weight. I have for years. I don't just go to the files, and I wish the Lord would let me do that. Just go to the file. You say, well, I know, Pastor, you preach some of the same message over and over again. No, you don't. You don't pay that much attention. But every time I do preach a message over again, you know what? See, I got notes. I have notes, you know. I sometimes use those. I have notes. But I have notes is every time I go, if I go preach, like if I was to preach this message, say, tonight or tomorrow or some other, many times the Lord will have me rework it. Say, no, that's not the way I want you to deliver it. I want you to preach it different. Now, you guys have heard me preach enough to know that I'll preach the same message and preach totally different scriptures. Because the Lord will say, no. And I have to work to get that. I'm thinking, why can't I just do what I did last time? That worked. No. See, there's going to be different people. And he knows. You may put the emphasis on something a little different this time, see. And so it's I treat that serious. I don't just show up, you know, having, you know, oh man, I just thank God I made the church. Whoo, I didn't think I was gonna get through that 18th hole. I know I shouldn't have threw my club like I did out there on the 17th one, but whew, we here. I'm not the preacher that I'm preaching on Wednesday night. On Wednesday afternoon, I'm sitting in the movie theater watching movies. Just, I'm not going to have time to shower. Squirt some cologne on. Let's go. To me, that's treating this lightly. I'm going to treat it. I mean, what'd you think, man? You're getting ready to get surgery. And you got a surgeon over you, and he's slurping coffee, spilling it on the front of his, you know, mock thing there, you know, scrub, whatever it is, you know, white thing, coat. You know, he says, you know, I think I can do this. He's looking at the book. Yeah, it looks pretty simple. I don't know about you, man. I don't care if I'm undone in the back. I'm leaving. I'm out of there. I'll find some clothes somewhere. See, what? He's not taking this serious enough. I mean, God watches these things. You know, Dorval Hayes said something years ago that I kind of took it up. He said, God doesn't believe a thing you say. That blessed you, didn't it? He only believes what you do. You can say anything. I'll never leave you, Pastor. I'm with you till the end. What's this sharp object I feel in my back? Oh, pull that knife out. You just stuck in there. See, you can't. It's not that we distrust people, but God wants to see what you do. Amen. Come on. So, everybody say sufficient weight. So, just like this. All right. Now, if somebody, see, I'm going to change or renew your mind just a little bit. You may think I'm being a little radical, but I believe the kingdom of God's more important than anything we're doing in the natural. And somebody said, well, what's your vocation? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm an electrician. Well, what you ought to say is, you know, I'm an usher at church and an electrician. Because what I do for God is more important than what I do for the world. What I'm doing for God is more important than what I'm doing for Pharaoh. Come on. Now, see, a lot of Christians think that's radical, but that's Bible. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. See, what I do for God, that's more important. That doesn't mean I don't do my regular job. I should do it as unto the Lord, right? But what I do for God's more important. It's more important. Amen. Now, all right, let's close. 1 Corinthians 16. Did you get anything out of this today? We were talking about what is the ministry of helps. Well, it's just help. 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 Look with me at verse 15, and we'll close right here. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, that you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Acacia, that they have, now the King James uses this word, I like this, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Or, the King James says they've devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I looked the word up, and one of the meanings of it, devoted is a meaning of it, but one of the words is addicted. They're addicted to it. And Paul said that you submit yourselves, verse 16, unto such and to everyone that helps us with us and labors. Everybody say labor. See, over the years you see young people and they have a calling. Maybe they're, I just can't wait to get in ministry. Oh, I want to get in ministry. And then they get in ministry and find out, wait a minute, this is work. Yeah. Amen. Well, everybody's out playing. You're getting ready. Amen. We're just not looking for the limelight. We're just looking to serve God. See, if I had my way, if I ran the kingdom, it'd be in a mess, wouldn't it? But if I ran the kingdom, well, it would be if you did too. If I ran the kingdom, I'd put me someplace else. There's things that I love preaching, don't misunderstand me, but there's just things in the natural I like to do. I just love to be a church, church maintenance man. I mean, full time. James said, hey, I'm thinking about that too, full time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just because I like to take care of stuff. I like to fix stuff. I like to do stuff like that. I don't think, God, why don't you just put me over the maintenance man? I'd love that. I love doing that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? There's certain things I like to do. But God sets each of us in a body as he sees fit. I've asked for transfers before. They came back denied. I'm thinking, don't you have any other Gomer piles somewhere you could use? Golly, shazam. I mean, God knows where we each belong. Amen? And so, I'm going to close by saying this. I'm still, once again, I'm still 39 years soon to be in the ministry. I'm still working in the ministry of helps. I'm never going to stop. That's where I began. That's where I'll finish. Yeah, I'm doing the job of a preacher. And no, I don't do the ministry of helps like some of you all do the ministry of helps. Not by no means do I. But I still will do it. I still will help. I still, even if I'm at a friend's church, and I'm all of a sudden, if I notice that, somebody's about to hit the floor, there's not enough ushers, I'll jump in there, man. Why? It's called help. We need some help here. Amen. Dr. Barclay, he's a national minister. He still works in the ministry of helps, but part of it because he likes to. He likes to blow snow. He was out there one day all covered up, goggles, everything. One of the people pulled up and said, hey, what are you doing? He pulls down, oh, my gosh, it's Pastor. It's Pastor. Get off that snow machine. He said, don't even think about it. Of course, they've been building new buildings. He makes the guys that do the construction. The construction guys are building their new buildings for them, new administrative building, and I don't know what else they're building for their ministry. But he makes them let him use the bulldozer. He's paying the bills, you know what I'm saying? So, all right, Pastor, Doc, you can go out there and, in front of the bulldozer. Just don't touch too much, all right? But you know what? Here's the thing. If helps is in you, it's in you. It's just in you. And it's a good thing. Amen? Listen, how many like the anointing? Did you know why? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do some things. Hey, man, the anointing's not just so you'll feel good. It does feel good, doesn't it? Man, there's been times, man, I've had the anointing come on me. Woo, that feels good. But it's not just so you'll feel good. It's so you'll do something with it. God anoints you. He empowers you. He equips you to do something. And if you'll just be available, we talked about those, you know, the other things that God said in the church, miracles and diversity of tongues. But what about the gifts of the Spirit? You know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, you know, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and so forth, you know, gifts of healings, working miracles, all that. But you know what? Those are never going to come on you if you're not doing something. Those anointings won't come on you. But if you'll just be a help, you know, just be a blessing. Everywhere you're at, out in the store, wherever you're at, just be a blessing. God can anoint you and something come on you. And it's so good to see, to have God flow through you like that. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.